Blog Talk Radio.
Rhubarb.
Welcome to the Transformation Cafe. Hello, everyone. Join us tonight for another hour of life-style conversation and discussion and learning as we nosh on the current events and trends with a spiritual perspective. You can join in the conversation of our show by calling 646-727-3206. That's 646-727-3206. Or you can go online to the chat area. We'd love to hear from you. So let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight.
Okay. Hi, this is Robin Misevich. We're at the Holiday Transformation Cafe tonight, so we wanted to thank everyone for joining us. Again, we want to encourage everybody to get into the chat room. Basically, just follow your prompts through the blogtalkradio.com with the Transformation Cafe, and we will be keeping an eye on that. I will be watching the switchboard and also the chat room tonight. So I'm Robin Misevich. I have a flower shop in Riverside, California called Flowers for You, and just love to be learning about spirituality and talking about that on a regular basis and being in the nowing of everything. We're going to be talking about that tonight a little bit, of ways we can gift ourselves into the new year, and just looking forward to Christmas. And I see we have Miss Gloria. Hey, Miss Gloria, how are you tonight?
Howdy, howdy. I'm doing great.
That's great. And we have Mr. Jamie. How are you tonight?
I'm very well. Thank you.
Good. You want to tell everybody about your wonderful studio you have up in the Seattle area?
My name is Jamie Trujillo. I'm a friend of Robin's from high school. I am a tattoo artist. I have a shop in Seattle, Washington. It's called Chromome Tattoo. We've been up here for 14 years, and I like to think I help people with their psychic armor.
Okay, there we go. Tonight we have back, Mr. Gosh, why am I like, I'm just getting tongue-tied here, because I'm just so excited about having him on again. Okay, Dr. Stephen Ward is on again. I'm looking for his website and for whatever. Oh, there we go, Chiroman. Chiroman.com. I don't know why I just based on that. But anyway, Chiroman.com. And if you have not had a chance, if you've been listening to our other show, we had Dr. Ward on back on December 7th. So if you want to go to that back show, and you can actually listen to that on demand if you go to just Transformation Cafe. So we'd love for you to back up on that. And there's some wonderful story of Dr. Steve. And we did actually a show called Transformation Over Adversity. And when he was younger, he wound up having a disease that was, it's actually a virus that was the that really gave him a big challenge in his life. So we're going to kind of follow from that and move in. So, Dr. Ward, how are you tonight?
I am great tonight.
You're always great. He's always great, but he's exceptionally great tonight. How about that? Yeah.
Exceptionally great.
Exceptionally great, yeah. So tonight we were going to talk a little bit about being authentic is being healed and nowing into our wellness. And one thing that I have had the pleasure of actually going to Dr. Ward's offices, and I have an older friend of mine that had been having problems where she felt like she was falling a lot. And through a few sessions with Dr. Ward, she's doing much better. And one of the things I had the pleasure of watching Dr. Ward in action when he has patients come in and they're seeking to get their adjustments. One thing that I really love about Dr. Ward, and actually we were talking about this a little earlier tonight when we were thinking, like, you know, what direction do we want the conversation to go to, is just Dr. Ward has just a wonderful ability of being very present, very now with each of the people he comes into contact with, and looking to what their needs would be in their adjustments, and just helping them to be looking at their issues to be able to, you know, basically come from that new place of wellness within themselves. So, again, I want to welcome him on, and he's actually going to be every other week for a little while. We're going to have Dr. Ward on and just kind of sharing some different aspects of spirituality through healing and health and things that he's just really good at. And he's going to be updating us on some different books and things like that he's got in the works right now that part of it's we're kind of waiting for them to come into the public line, but we'll be letting you guys know about that when they are available. So So, Doctor, what do you want to talk a little bit about how you got into coming from this very authentic place when you're helping your patients?
Well, for me, I look at each individual patient as a unique experience. So I really want to take my time with every patient. I want them to know that they are the most important person in my reality in that moment. And I really want them to understand that they are being cared for at a very deep level. Because so many times when people are in challenge and they're coming in, they're stressed out and they've been to other doctors, and a lot of times the doctor really hasn't spent much quality time with them. And so I want them to know that whether I see one patient in a day or 100, I want each person to have a unique experience, and I want them to walk away from that experience feeling as if they're very special and very important to me. And by doing that, I think we begin to get much better results, because good results start with a person liking someone and then knowing that they're cared for and loved. And then, of course, giving them treatment that is very skillful. So to me, that's one of the most important processes, is to slow it down a little, make sure they understand that they are special, and that I want to take the time that's necessary to help them have the breakthrough that's best for their life.
Well, I have a question that I'm just kind of curious about, because if they're always saying, when you go to any kind of a doctor, and since we are talking to Dr. Ward here, is it true that the percentage of stress really is what the major factor when it comes to people when they have a sense of illness? Isn't it 85% is actually stress when it comes to just things that have been affecting the body that create the disease within the body?
Yes, I would say it's much higher than that, because obviously we are always under stress. Sometimes our stress is of a positive nature, which doesn't last as long, but we either are experiencing positive stress or negative stress at almost every moment in our life. And so to me, it's really getting clear on the stress of life, trying to coach people to really get more into a positive stress than negative stress, and try not to keep that stress response on a locked-on, constant process, because that's where illness really begins to take place in people's lives.
Well, and I think that a lot of people don't even necessarily realize that there's actually good stress and bad stress.
Yes, I'm sure that's true, because a lot of times the word stress is just thrown out there. Oh, I feel stress. And when we are really, things are going really well in our life, we don't really use the word stress. So we commonly use the word stress when things aren't going well. But stress is a automatic response in the body, and it happens in good times and bad times. And so, obviously, though, we would like people to experience positive stress more frequently than negative.
Gloria, did you have something you want to say?
Well, I was going to add that, what I was going to add is that, with what you're saying, the fight or flight syndrome and the different chemicals that are released during the flight or fight, which is considered to be the stress that is not beneficial to the body, yet any kind of change, and when you consider the human being as a whole, humanity does not like change, because change, any kind of change, whether it's a positive change or a negative change, creates that stress. So it's based on the different chemicals that are released in the body that create all of that negative stress that isn't beneficial to the body. So I was going to add my 2 cents there.
Yes, that's very true. Hans Selye in The Stress of Life talked about the chemical releases, and that does really lead to the negative stress that people experience in their life.
Now,
so
what was the original?
Very good point.
You were talking about that book on our last show with you, and that was written in the 1960s or something like that? Isn't that what you're saying?
I believe so. You know, it's been quite a while since I've referenced The Stress of Life by Hans Selye. But I would say that's probably about the time. However, he was so widely published, I'm sure he had earlier works. And, of course, he passed away, I think, in around 1982. And so he really did the body of the research on stress, and then certainly other people have done a lot of research on stress since then.
Mm-hmm.
I don't really work with the chemicals that are released from the anterior pituitary during a stress reaction. We all work with that, but that's really not my my expertise as much as how mental, emotional stress is impacting the health of the patients that I treat.
Well, one thing I really love about Dr. Ward's office, too, is that he actually has a few screensavers that he's created. And actually, if you go to thechiroman.com, there's also a connection there that will take you over to his other website that's called the Power of Positive Computing.com. And there's 11 different kinds. Is that right? 11? There's 11 of those guys. And
there's 11 different themes. And, of course, we have it ready for PC and Mac.
Right. Of course we do. We've got that ready to go. And the one thing I really love about it is it's all nature scenes pretty much, and all these different wonderful expansive vistas and just wonderful views of nature, whether it's something like an intricate flower or this big vista that's being expressed. And it really helps people to come from just that level of being connected. And here we're talking about change. And I think nature is one of the most wonderful ways of being able to express that on just a very simple and, you know, connected way for ourselves to just, you know, be more expansive. And so when it comes to the senses, it's like Laurie was saying, you know, people are afraid of change. But yet when we look at nature, there's that comfort in that. It's like we've been having rain like the last 4 or 5 days here in Southern California. And For the one thing, it's very odd because usually we get a little like half day rainstorm and we're all like, oh my God, it rained, you know, and it's been raining and raining and oh, it's raining. So what's really wonderful about that is all the new grass is coming up, and it's just so wonderful to, you know, that, you know, we're constantly seeing different levels of change, you know, be it, you know, the water moving, you know, one hill to another because of a little bit of flooding going on, or we've got these wonderful, you know, growth with the trees and grass and things like that are getting cleansed and washed and, you know, and having this new level of growth going on that, you know, like we're saying, you know, there's different levels of stress, different levels of change, and depending on your perspective and how you want to be able to brace those things, it can just be a really lovely experience that can be gifting you in so many ways just by changing a certain level of perspective.
Yes, indeed. Well,
yes,
I think with change, I think people do fear change, but change is always going to happen, and we're always going to then have to adapt to that change. And so people do fear it until they take action, and then once they take action, they do create a new paradigm, and once that new paradigm's created, they no longer have that same fear on changing. But change is a natural part of growth in life.
Well, in I was almost thinking that the fact that here we're asking for change, someone's coming into your office and they're wanting to go ahead and have an alignment, have their situation looked at, they're asking for change. They're asking for themselves to be changed in a new way so they can really go back to a sense of wellness that's hopefully bigger and better than before they had any kind of an issue that had come up in the body. So really you're asking somebody to change in a different way. Go ahead, Gloria.
Have you heard what they say about how people don't seek change? They say that when the pain of change is less than the pain of staying the same, that's when people seek change.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, the pain of like staying the same is not really realizing the amount of, and I'm sure Dr. Ward will agree with this, is just, you know, how that, you know, gets accumulated on the body. You know, and here we're seeing a spine or, you know, different joints of the body. They're basically being a collective of taking on that non-change And, you know, it's almost like you know, the two-sided weight where pretty soon something's got to give because, you know, ultimately there's all this pressure and energy that needs to be released in a way that's just not getting taken care of. And then you wind up having to have these major adjustments or having the body really just, you know, screaming at you for a level that, you know, this needed to be taken care of on subtler levels, and we ignored it and ignored it and ignored it.
Definitely. I think when you bring up that, you know, a lot of times in practice I have experienced all different types of people, and the people who come from really intense denial profiles, they mm-hmm. tend to be very stuck in life, and usually they do not come to my office unless they can't move or they're carried in. They usually do not really follow through on a treatment plan. They're not the best at listening to different advice that may help break them through. So a lot of times what we're dealing with more in our practice is people that are more in exhaustion type problems, and they are ready to make a breakthrough. They've had the problem too long. They're tired of it, and they want to change it.
Mm-hmm. You know, like, you know, so if I said, wow, I'm having an awesomely positive stress day, what would that look like?
Well, it would be, an example would be, oh, I'm, you know, taking a walk in the park, and I'm enjoying the beautiful scenery around. I'm looking at the excitement in people's faces and in their emotions. I'm taking in maybe the trees blowing and maybe some ripples in the water, and that would be an example. You know, another positive stress would be putting on a presentation and getting a lot of validation and having people really love what you're doing. And to me, you know, it would be awesome if we could live our whole life in a positive stress environment, but but life isn't really like that. So we need to be able to adapt to stress and cope with stress and not allow stress to manipulate us into being in an unhealthy energy pattern for long periods of time, because we mm-hmm. do have choice, and our choice really comes in the words we choose and how those words have a vibration and how that then attracts an outcome.
Okay. Yeah, we were actually talking about how we were going to get into the vibrational matching of things and how much power there is in being able to have, you know, like attract like, and just some of the, you know, powerful universal laws that are out there. So one thing I just wanted to – we last show that we had Dr. Ward on, we were talking about just some basics that would be these stress busters. And one of the things that I think that was just up a paramount – was number two on his list about having a certain level of unreal expectations. And there's one thing totally, you know, if you did nothing else coming into the new year and kind of gifting yourself for the holidays, it's just to let go of any level of expectations that, especially something you would think that would be hindering you on a certain level, and just allowing yourself to kind of be in the flow and having things showing you something that could be, you know, so much better than anything you can imagine, you know.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think expectations can really be a challenge for a lot of people in their life, because so many times they're setting unreal expectations instead of setting expectations that are attainable. They're setting a goal that's really hard to attain, and then if they are fortunate enough to attain it, in most cases they're setting a higher goal and they're not taking the moment to appreciate what they have done and what they have accomplished. And so I think it's important to coach people to slow down and really be thankful and come from a life of gratitude. You know, start your day every day by writing down, you know, 5 or 10 things that you are grateful for. Because one thing for sure is once we do acknowledge the things we're grateful for, we are then able to see more things that we can be grateful for. And we are really reframing our life and our consciousness and attracting to our life what we want.
Mm-hmm.
in our life. And I think most people would have much healthier lives if they do begin their day with a list and write down the things they are grateful for. Because, for instance, I try to do that every day, and I have some days I have really large lists, and some days just a few things get me through it. So, but I think it is a good start.
One of the things that I've been doing lately, which I was hoping, you always say I'm going to do a whole day of this, and it's just going through the day seeing things that I like. You know, and just looking to all situations, to, you know, just anything and everything as you're going through your day, about just appreciating things on very subtle levels, like, you know, liking the color of leaves or liking the way the light is hitting something and admiring that. And it just kind of attracts my attention and I find it attractive, and just all the little things about liking different things. And
yes, I think that's really powerful.
It's very powerful, and it really keeps you in the moment of being in the now. And we were Dr. Ward and I were talking about that earlier too, about the just in being well and coming from a good positive mindset is just really looking to the, you know, this moment. And like we were sharing before about how Dr. Ward, when he's with his patients, just being in that present moment, being I'm not talking about the last patient I had, not anybody who's going to be coming in the door. It's who's before me right now, whether it's a client, whether it's someone else that that is with me, and being able to be very present.
Yes, I think that's what most people want, and certainly people really love the adjustment I give because it's very unique using wall adjustment techniques. But they really come because they know when they hit the door, I'm going to be excited and enthusiastic, and I'm going to welcome them and hug them and really share that they are very important to me. And because if they, you know, sometimes all a person needs is one person that they know cares about them, and then that allows them to begin to vibrate at a different level and call in different experiences that really move from that point. So I think it's really important to be present and to be thankful and to be excited and passionate when you see people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we were talking about the idea of just being vibrational matches to wellness, to happiness, to joy. And Dr. Ward, you want to talk about that a little bit, about what you were sharing with me before about just the power of coming from those levels of thought and how powerful, you know, that vibrational match can be for people?
Well, from my perspective, I think that when we operate more from a faith-based reality, one of purpose, which we touched on last show, on love, on joy, on happiness, on inspiration, on thankfulness, when we do come from that energetic field, I think our whole life will have a different look to it and a different feel to it. And so to me, a lot of times, especially with new patients, they come in so much fear and they're unhappy and, you know, a lot of times they're angry. And so usually within a visit, we can shift them into a different, reframe that reality and get them vibrating a little bit different. And then as they vibrate differently, their life changes. And it does change because they are more thankful. They are operating from joy. They are choosing to be happy. They are recognizing the importance of having an inner peace. And of course, you know, I'll stop and I'll ask, have you told yourself you love yourself today? Or, you know, something like that, just to get them active in the process, because we can lead someone to water. We can't make them drink it. So if they are embedding love, they have the power to change their experience. And so I think it's important.
Okay, so you actually go and you ask people, have you told yourself you're loving yourself today?
I do. I do a lot of times, you know.
Do they think you're weird,
instance,
and they look at you like you're like, okay, Dr. Ward?
It doesn't really bother me how they look at me.
Okay.
My job is to really project how I come from in my own life. And I really am loving of self, and I try to be my best friend and kind to myself. And I recognize the importance of loving self even when things don't turn out the way you want them to. And mm-hmm. And so, you know, it's very natural for me to do that. And sometimes, for instance, you know how I read patterns of behavior. And mm-hmm. So sometimes when you're dealing with, like, someone in heavy denial, you cannot hit them at all between their eyes on the core issues that are creating their problems, because they'll short-circuit and withdraw. So mm-hmm. sometimes just a simple thing like, well, you know, when was the last time you told yourself you love yourself, is a good mm-hmm. start, because the minute you say that, they'll, you know, people in denial will say what?
Mm-hmm.
They'll say never.
Mm-hmm. Okay? Why would I want to do that? Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, you know, oh, I never tell myself I love myself. And but
yeah,
yet,
my mom,
then they're
my
looking
mom said
for
that
love
a good thing
from
to do,
all outside
yeah.
experiences. And, of course, then they don't trust it. So it's really important, I feel, that we go back to what we talked about in the prior show of having a purpose of love, recognizing we're worth loving, recognizing we can trust love. And love is really an issue. It's, we want to stay out of codependent love, love based in fear and judgment mm-hmm. and blame and what are you going to do for me and, you know, that type
mm-hmm.
thing. And mm-hmm. And really being authentic, I think it's important in life. And so I have no problem kind of being silly,
mm-hmm.
Kind of being a little crazy,
mm-hmm.
you know, showing some personality, being authentic.
Mm-hmm.
And
mm-hmm.
I find that it works really well with people, and people really break through much quicker when they are in a healthier place within their own identity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because when Dr. Ward is with his patients, there's just such a light funness and such a joy about when he walks in and greets them and has them come in and do the adjustments. It's just such this breath of fresh air, because he's coming from this place of being very authentic with himself and really encouraging that person to be authentic with him simultaneously. So this is just this automatic level of camaraderie that occurs, and people just have that automatic warm and fuzzy, you know. So,
and
you know,
not all
I'm
people. You
right,
can't,
right.
You know, in life, you can't please them all, and you can't get approval from everybody. But it's important, I think, to be true to who you are. And
mm-hmm.
and who I really want to legitimately be is a caring person who has love in my heart. And I know in Scripture it talks about love being the most important thing. Above all things, we are to love. And I think that's very important, you know, that we recognize that, and that if someone is having a challenge with that, and the people that do have challenge with loving self always have. It doesn't mean they always
mm-hmm.
have to. And sometimes
mm-hmm.
it just means that we need to coach them to take a step, you know,
mm-hmm.
Take one step and the next step will be revealed. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, I see so many people that you ask them about loving themselves and they tell you, I never have. And to me,
mm-hmm.
that is sad, but I don't really listen to that because I know that that's a script. And
mm-hmm.
And sometimes, you know, what we need to do is help people to see that the script that they think is theirs is not theirs, and that they have an opportunity to create a different script, one that is healthier for who they are.
So since we're talking about scripts, I'm kind of thinking it as a different little bit way here, because one thing I wanted to ask you and talk about was, do you have this automatic sense when you see someone? I mean, you've been doing chiropractic in 1990, right? You joined with your dad's practice, and your dad started in 1960, and then you went ahead and joined him in 1990, right? About, you know,
that's
30
correct.
Years later. And then, so, you know, you've always seen this modeling of, I'm sure your dad does this too, but I'm just kind of assuming, that he would actually see someone and I'd like to believe that there was this ultimate wellness, that he could look at this person and just see their level of health and wellness, even though that person might be carrying something that would be, you know, some kind of a challenge for them, that they basically could just, like, move from that and have it be totally different.
Yeah, he was. My dad was a very loving man and very kind. He was also very much a scientist, and he measured everything. So everything that he would do, someone would come in and they would have, you know, heart disease, and he would look at the full spine X-rays, and then he'd have another person with heart disease. He'd look at a new set, and he'd go compare the two, try to look for the correlation. And mm-hmm. so he did have that issue of being present and kind and loving, but he also had that aspect of, well, do we really know something if we don't measure it? And the importance of objective documentation and looking at measurements and measuring systems, and then wanting to see how those measuring systems changed through treatment. And, you know, interesting enough, early in his career, he wasn't seeing the change he wanted to see. He wanted to see greater change. He in his model, he learned that all he has to do is an adjustment, and then he fixes the nervous system and fixes the problem. And when he would take a new set of X-rays and he would find in some cases the spine was worse, he started to realize, wow, you know, what's going on here? And uh-huh. and so it took some years of study to really get clarity on systemic models that really work well and that are effective to consistently create unbelievable change in the structure, and then being able to document it through a measuring system to really support what he believed he was doing, which was helping people. And believing uh-huh. you're helping people and having evidence that you help people are really two different things. And
right.
So... you know, so that's what I grew up with. And my dad would say, well, you know, son, if you believe that you've helped that person, then you should be able to measure it and see the improvement. And, you know, in my life today, I don't always do measurements on people. I don't always take the four full spine X-rays, because we are in economic times that are challenging, and I just know I can help people. We've come a long way. But in the ideal model, that is the best way to go.
Mm-hmm. Now, did your dad name the chiropractic spinal column stressology? Was that his?
Yes.
It was
he termed it chiropractic spinal column stressology, which was the study of oppositional stress forces in the spine. And so what that means is, to create an angle, you look at the angle above and the angle below, and based on those angles, it will set up a curvature. And based on that curvature, it will tell us the pattern of behavior. But nowadays, mm-hmm. it's interesting because, you know, I've done it so long, I just look at people and I know things. I know deep things about them. And, mm-hmm. And of course, that's very exciting, because it really, I can help people quicker through that realization. So, but yeah, that work that he founded, I'm still doing today, and it's as accurate today as it was in the mid-60s, and we've just learned more, obviously.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so instead of reading somebody's palm, you're reading their spine.
Yeah, or their pain pattern.
Or their feet, or whatever, or their, you know. Yeah, it's been fun to hang out with Dr. Ward a few times, because, I mean, literally depending on if a person walks and their feet are pointed more outward or more inward, and the way that they sit, depending on how they're sitting, says so much about a person. And there's been two or three instances where, you know, we'll be sitting there and introducing people. We had gone to a restaurant and introduced ourselves to the owners, and he started sharing with one of the owners about, you know, what he could see with it was a husband and wife who owned this cafe. And she was just kind of looking at him like, oh, my gosh, how does he know all this stuff? It was very, very interesting how people respond to the information and what they do with the information. So it's a very profound, yet, you know, it's just like, you know, anything else when it comes to a certain level of languaging. And we
yes.
speak language all the time, whether we're doing it verbally or, you know, they say verbally, I think it's only maybe, what, 30% of our whole way that we communicate out in the world, kind of thing, because body language is just such a loud thing once you know that language.
Well, and understanding that, you know, most people in relationships fall into pattern, and if relationships are sustainable, then in most cases you're going to find opposite curvature. So you'll find a male in a left curve and a woman in a right curve, or the opposite. I happen to be a right curve man, and I certainly attract more left curve women to my life.
It's kind of like you guys sit together and you make a heart, right? Okay.
Oh, yeah, that would be wonderful. It still, it still comes with great challenge
circle,
in life because of what the core issue of those patterns indicate. Because, you know, we fall into that issue in relationships of expecting our partner to meet the need that our parent didn't meet. And,
mm-hmm.
again,
mm-hmm.
that's an unreal expectation. So
mm-hmm.
if my parent didn't give me what I needed and then I expect my partner to do it, but I'm not going to tell my partner I need it, I'm going to expect that my partner knows what I need, we're going to have challenges.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And to me, that's a big issue today is that and why so many relationships fail is they expect their partner to meet the need that the parent didn't. And I try to talk to them about that because in most cases they won't even share with their partner what their need is, and in a lot of cases they don't even know what their need is. They
right,
just know it's
right.
not being met. And
yeah.
so that's where it's important to get defined.
Uh-huh. Did you want to say something, Jamie?
No, I was talking to somebody.
Okay. I heard you agreeing back there. You're like, yeah, okay. Well, and I think that kind of goes back to being a vibrational match, right? Because we were talking about matching things and having it be vibrationally in a level where there's a harmony and a wellness with that. And when you're not in harmony with another person, there's definitely going to be conflict. So,
yes.
you know, it can still go back to that level of, you know, you see potatoes and I see potatoes, you know. So, you know, there's going to be a little bit of conflict going on with that. So just very, very interesting. I'm thinking of our last year with you where you were sharing about, you know, the different levels of adversity that you had. And I think it's so powerful that with your illness that you had, your dad was just such an advocate for your wellness. And he, you know, here the doctors were saying that you'd never walk again when you had the Hong Kong flu. And your dad was great about saying, well, you know, you don't know my son. And you came off even with that where you were thinking to yourself, well, they don't know me. So there's just this level of a fortified belief in, you know, knowing what you are and knowing what you aren't. And going back to that level of being authentic within yourself, when you know yourself enough to where there's a sense of strength and stability within yourself, that you're really gifting yourself and everyone else around you with the fact that, you know, I'm not going to let this be who defines me. You know, I'm going to, you know, be better than this and just be more empowered within myself for something that somebody might want to have me be or not be. That's not me. So,
yeah,
it's
really
powerful.
Important not to allow people to define who you are because they will
mm-hmm.
define who they are. And in most cases, they don't know who they are. So
mm-hmm.
we don't want that. You know,
mm-hmm.
it's,
it seems to me some people, they seem to, like, try to suck your energy out of you, even if it's any type of energy you give them, even if it's negative, and then finally it gets kind of old.
You sure?
Mm-hmm.
I call
right.
them energy vampires.
Energy vampires, that's a good one, yeah.
Because
mm-hmm.
they,
mm-hmm.
you know, and that's where it helps to really say, hey, you know, what is my need here?
Mm-hmm.
You know, is it my need to change this person in fear and get them to a place of love, or can I just let them be there and just move on?
Mm-hmm.
Because it took me a long time. You know, the energy vampires, the minute I'm hit with the energy vampire, I know it. You know it too, right?
Right.
I mean, it doesn't take but 5 minutes to understand, wow, this person's going to suck every bit of energy from your life. And to me, it's that recognition of, oh, I have an energy vampire here. And at that point, I pull back. And I say, hey, it's okay, they can be that. And I don't need to save them from that. I don't need to change that for them. And I can fail with them. You know, I don't have to succeed with every person. If someone doesn't want to create change in their life, who am I to come along and change that for them? They need to start with wanting to transform. And that's why
mm-hmm.
I say now in an affirmation in my life, you know, I'll say, God, please send me the people that are ready for breakthroughs. Don't send me these energy vampires because,
mm-hmm.
you know, I do not have the energy for that. You know, one energy vampire, it can take you down quicker than, you know, I could treat 50 people and deal with one energy vampire, and it's not the 50 people that make me tired.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and you'd touched on that before when we were talking about these stress busters, because we were talking about, you know, these general gatherings where people get together and you're, like, you know, along with the expectations, you know, you just automatically think, oh, I'm going to be with a bunch of family and they'll be complainers and they'll be wanting to suck on my energy. And we're talking about the vampires. And one thing that you said last year was don't give it weight. It has no weight.
Yeah. It's easier said than done. But, you know, mm-hmm. when you work in life and you face people that, for instance, in my work, you know, when I go out to work with other chiropractors, I'm always met with negativity and criticism and resentment and judgment and, oh, you're nuts and all that stuff. And you know, I just keep plowing ahead and I just keep sharing with them, well, you know, what I'm here to do is share with you what I love. Or, and I'll ask them, are you asking me not to do what I love? And they say no, and I say, okay, good, let's move forward. And by about the fourth hour, they have reframed and they are loving it and they are learning about themselves for the first time, and it's a beautiful thing.
Mm-hmm. Well, see, it's kind of like, you know, Galileo and just saying, you know, really, that world is round. It's okay. We can go around and we won't fall off the earth. It's okay.
Yeah.
Really, it's okay. We'll just keep sailing. It's okay. We just keep sailing. It's all good.
Off the subject, did anybody see the lunar eclipse last night?
Yeah, we had a lunar eclipse. We are celebrating the winter solstice
tonight.
It is the 21st. Yep, it's the 21st of December. And this year is just, it's such a monumental thing. I think that the last time they had this kind of a lineup, we had a lunar eclipse, we had a solar eclipse, and we've got part of our solar system that's lining up within this eclipse system. So it hasn't happened since 1630.
Right. And it won't happen
there
again.
There you go.
I know. 80
so
years or
if you're feeling like there's a little stress going on,
there is
on a certain level. Yeah, you just can't really put your finger on it. You can. You might be able to say, well, you know, there's that eclipse going on, and I really think that a part of our more subtler bodies are just so sensitive to things like that. So sometimes you just have to be like, gosh, why do I feel like there's just something different going on today? I think when you look at a level that we're the oneness of everything, and when something has this major aligning or changing going on, we really feel that on just a certain level. Talk about alignments. Huh, Dr. Ward, there you go.
Yes.
As well as the amount of rain that you've been getting there. That's just a little sidebar, but I know we had some rain in the last couple of weeks, and I know SoCal's getting bad there.
Mm-hmm. We haven't had rain like this for about 30 years.
Right.
Yeah, I was driving home from Nevada yesterday, and oh my goodness, it was just insane the whole way. I mean, I've never experienced a rainstorm consistently for, you know, 4 hours. It just came down like crazy. So a lot of things are going on right now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've got a lot of, you know, and I always love to think that water is just a cleansing and purifying energy that's really just, you know, cleansing and washing away a lot of negativity and just things that, you know, are being encouraged to, like I said, move on from a level of stagnation into movement. And what's interesting, too, is my daughter has a friend who came down from the Portland area night before last, and he was driving in weather the whole time. All the way down from Portland, all the way here to, you know, into California, he did not stop having weather that was affecting his trip, which is amazing.
Pineapple Express.
Yes, the Pineapple Express. Mm-hmm. I think he probably was hoping he would have been on it instead of driving in it. There you go. We want that to be a pineapple upside down cake, not weather we're dealing with. Okay. Speaking of that, we are at the Transformation Holiday Bake Cafe. We definitely need to order some dessert here. I think that'd be a good idea.
I know.
So, Dr. Ward, what's one of your favorite Christmas holiday desserts? What do you think?
Well, I love apple pie.
You love apple pie?
And I love banana cream pie.
And a banana cream pie. Okay. Are they holiday pies? I guess
pie
so.
More
you
than banana cream pie.
Banana cream pie is a holiday pie. Well, it's kind of close to the whole Hawaiian Express, so, you know, there we go, the Pineapple Express. We are going tropical in it, so that's good. So how about you, Mr. Jamie? What would you like for your dessert for the holiday cafe?
Gosh, I hadn't thought about it, but maybe some, like, a spice cake or something, gingerbready.
Uh-huh. Gingerbread cake, yes, that would definitely have. How about some gingerbread cheesecake?
There you go.
Ooh, okay. We get a little ooh from the crowd. And Miss Gloria, what would you like? She's probably put it on mute because she's listening to us. So there you go. So I'm going to vote for the peppermint. Let's do some chocolate peppermint. How about that? That would be good. Some chocolate peppermint cheesecake. That sounds pretty darn good.
Sounds good to me.
That sounds mighty good. There you go. There you go. So we always like to throw a little dessert in when it comes to the cafe. So that's very good. So anybody doing anything really just ultimately wonderful sharing when it comes to the holidays? It's definitely a time of giving, definitely a time of kindnesses and sharing. And just like we've been talking about tonight, having it where we can just come from that new level of just vibrationally matching ourselves to just happiness and peace on earth. And just a wellness that just can come just to a totally new level on the planet. I would totally just love to have that send that out to the world, and just a Christmas wish that it would be something that would just honor and just, you know, lift everyone to a totally new level of just loving themselves. Last week we were talking to Al Diaz on the show, Dr. Steve, and we were having a fun time talking about looking into a mirror and just saying, you know, I love you unconditionally. I love you who you are and what you are. There we go.
Yes.
Yeah, just totally loving and enjoying that, and we had quite the fun with him. But there's just so much to that, being able to just look at yourself and just, you know that, my creator created me, and I'm a beautiful being, and I have, you know, all my gifts and talents to offer to the world. And just,
yes.
and just enjoying that and being that, knowing that, you know, everyone makes a difference. And no small kind act is ever gone to waste, because it's definitely something that keeps the universe turning. So it's a wonderful thing.
I agree.
So there we go. So
well,
thou shalt enjoy your gingerbread cookies. There we go.
Created in God's likeness. If we look at it that way, then it really means that we shouldn't be going through our life always trying to fix ourselves. You know, that
mm-hmm.
we're
or other people. You know.
Who we were created to be, and we don't have to be something we're not, and
mm-hmm.
we can be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's
mm-hmm.
very, very important for a lot of people to understand that you don't need to change who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You know, probably the most important thing is to love who you are.
Mm-hmm. So
or who you're not.
Or who you're not, yeah, and loving yourself and saying, you know, and saying being authentic. I mean, if somebody's never even thought about that before, you know, like you're saying, it's loving yourself, but do you think there's just ways that we would know that we're living in alignment with ourselves, we're living in a place of being authentic with ourselves?
Yeah, I think if we're coming from joy and happiness, it's a good start. If we're grateful, it's a real good start. You know, those kind of things are signs that we are being authentic and that we can show who we are and not really stress over how someone may perceive us or worry about, you know, how they feel about us. You know, at least from my perspective, I think that we need to spend less time worrying about how people think about us and more time being appreciative of who we were created to be.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was Terry Cole Whitaker who once said that, you know, what another person thinks of me is none of my business.
Yeah.
That's actually pretty good. That keeps the second vampires away, that's for darn sure. None of my business, you know, they're going to think what they think. It's okay. I'm good. Actually, I'm fabulous. There we go. It's all good. Especially when you come from that place of joy and love and, you know, just seeking to be your best with everyone around you, being their best, just having fun. Having fun. That's one thing that's, it's always, it's no big thing, and we're having fun and just not making anyone feel ashamed or critical about things. It's just like, I think one of the other things that I've learned over the years is just that, you know, the majority of the time, everybody's doing the best they can with what they know. And I think that's such a wise thing to bring to the table when it comes to just really being in a place of being authentic with people, is recognizing they're seeking to be that way too as much as they can. And
right.
That gives everybody a level of unconditional love when you can come from that, just that level of genuineness with each other. You know, it's like, you know, I'm going to give myself a break and give you a break. Because you know what, gosh darn it, you know, we're both okay. We're both doing okay here. So that's a good thing.
Right. Change the vibration.
Mm-hmm. Change the vibration. So instead of coming from a level of fear, you know, so is there, if you think of just, I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot. Is there a good exercise or something that would be kind of a practice that we could do in coming from, moving from a fear place to a love place and just, you know, recognizing when I have that fear, ways that I could move that into a, you know, just a different place?
Well, I would say to keep it simple. Because
mm-hmm.
the only thing that really works for people is a simple exercise. And so
okay.
when I'm dealing with people, I ask a question, is this person healthy or not? Is this person coming from love and joy and happiness, inspiration, purpose, kindness, peacefulness, or are they coming from judgment, blame, guilt, criticism, resentment, or anger? Because, you know, by quickly understanding where someone comes from, it really helps us to not give weight to them. If they are coming from fear, and they do, you know, people who come from fear, what do? They're critical. What do? They transfer criticism. And what do they want you to do? They want you to carry that criticism as if something's wrong with you. And so
mm-hmm.
a simple exercise I suggest to a patient is, when someone says something that's critical, say, well, you know, I understand that you feel that way about me, and that's okay. And then
mm-hmm.
the second part of that is, however, I do not feel that way about me, and I'm going to choose to love me in this moment. Because
mm-hmm.
when you do that exercise, that person who's transferring their dysfunction, they don't know what to do.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps to immediately shift people back to what they're doing, which is transferring their, you know, generational script, their life experience to someone else. And what they want to do is keep doing that transfer. But when you interrupt it, then all of a sudden they're like, oh, you mean you're going to do that every time? And if you are, I'm going to stop.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So I think that's a powerful thing to, you know, quickly be able to, you know, ask that question, because I can tell you so many times in my life that simple question helped me from taking on load that was never mine, you know, the energy vampire who wanted to take my energy. And who wants that?
Mm-hmm.
You know, I
mm-hmm.
don't want that, and
mm-hmm.
I don't like that. So my energy and my life is my life to live, and I'm going to do the best I can to enjoy it and live in a spirit of love and acknowledgement and validation and support of self, and that allows me to be supportive of others, because, you know, that's pretty much what the people need who are in fear. They just need someone to love them even when they're dumping on them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, can you imagine somebody saying, well, I don't want that, and I don't like that, and I don't want that.
Yeah.
Walk away, and they're going to
yeah.
go, what? Well, I think one thing I've heard too is just like, you know, is that me? If somebody's being critical with you or something like that, stop and ask the simple question of like, well, am I like that? Is that really me? And of
right.
course you're going to, you know, hopefully you'll be in a place of like, well, no, that's not me. Like, well, that's not me, but, you know, and I don't want that.
Yeah,
it's me.
Just not likely to ever be you. You know,
mm-hmm.
I mean, in all honesty, a critic is a critic, and if you watch the critic, they'll go on and they'll criticize someone else. So, you know, it's really not real to the person being criticized. It's real to
mm-hmm.
the person being critical.
Mhm. Yeah, that's definitely true. So, well, just such a very interesting a conversation. So when it comes to being in this miracle of wellness, in this miracle of being authentic, do you really think in being authentic you're really coming from just a level of being in just perfect wholeness?
Well, you know, that would be wonderful, but I don't know
mm-hmm.
if there, if we ever really necessarily attain a perfect wholeness. We certainly want to strive to be whole and to be neutral and to be caring towards self and others and kind and merciful and peaceful. And it's not always the case, you know. There are times I get my feathers ruffled, and I'm not a perfect person. So, you know, but I'm striving to be a better person every day. And but I am a human, and in a human tendency, there are times that we're going to have a challenge that gets the best of us. But we need to look back over the course of our life and see if we have made a lot of change and transformation into a healthier perspective. And so I think that's important. Yeah, it would be great if we could get to that perfect place. But I think life's always throwing us, curveballs, so to speak, and we need to adapt to them. And well, if we do have a moment of meltdown, I think we need to be loving and supportive of ourselves in that position, because we are not perfect. So we need to be, or we need to just recognize that if we're doing our best and we have a meltdown, then we just pick it back up and go on to a new day with a new reality and try to just change a little bit from that person before. So if we're becoming a healthier person over our life, that's a better deal.
Well, I know just from being able to look at your screensavers that we can totally come from that place, because if you're spending time every day looking at beauty, looking at powerful words that have sustained the length of time, you know, this longer ones, you've got so many wonderful programs. Some are just focused on just the power of healing. Some are the power of, you know, the empowering of, well, you know, women and being empowerment, men and being empowerment, just being in a place of coming from all these different perspectives of just different ways that we're resonating with one another, and being able to have that something that you can be looking at on a regular basis and just continually gifting yourself with that is just such a powerful thing. So, again, I want to remind all of our listeners to go to thepowerofpositivecomputing.com, and you can go along with that. If you go to chiroman.com, there's also a connection right there on his homepage. You can go ahead and connect to that. And get yourself or get the loved one with that, because it's just such a wonderful thing. And it's real easy. You don't necessarily have to wait for anything to be shipped to you. And it's just an automatic download. There's a well worth the price of the ticket. There you go. To be gifting yourself and others with having these wonderful images of beauty and having them on there. So, and also to remind everybody, Dr. Ward's normal practice hours are Tuesday, Wednesday, Tuesday, Thursday, and Fridays, right? You've got 3 days a week.
Correct.
That you're available with a lot of the adjustments that you do. Usually they're from 8:30 to 5:30, again, on Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays. And he's in Long Beach, California. The address is 6530 East Spring Street, and it's called Ward Chiropractic Family Center. And if you guys would want to go ahead and call, see if he's available, the number there is 562-420-8884. Again, that's 562-420-8884, or you can go to chiroman.com and go ahead and check that out. And there's an extensive video library there that just really gives all kinds of information on just different aspects of some of the teachings and some of the basic ways to look at yourself and others when it comes to different positions within the spine and just some of the emotional connections that go along with that. So, as always, Dr. Ward, you're always just love talking to you and all the different aspects of stuff that we're going to be talking to.
Well,
again,
I love
we
it too, and I enjoy this very much, and I'm thankful to be a part of it, and you're a brilliant young lady, and I appreciate your interest.
Well, thank you, and I am very interested, and again, I've seen him in action with an older friend of mine that is just getting all kinds of wonderful treatments and just finding new levels of health for herself. She was a person that a couple of the chiropractors wouldn't want to be doing treatments on her. They felt she was too fragile. But Dr. Ward, with his gentleness with his practice, was able to start working with her. And instead of falling, she's walking with a strong stride. So we're very grateful for that. So we want to, again, wish everybody a Merry Christmas and have a wonderful holiday. And, again, we will be seeing you guys next week at the Holiday Cafe. And we thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
This has been another wonderful evening filled with lively and unusual dinner conversation and you. We are so glad you decided to join us. You make it special, and we are always happy to hear from you at Transformation Cafe. You can find out more about the people on our shows by clicking on our website, transformation-cafe.com, and checking out where all our other previous shows are available on demand, or here at Blog Talk Radio Transformation Cafe. If you are interested in appearing as a guest chef, you can email us at show@transformation-cafe.com. Thanks again. Travel well, and we will see you next time here at Transformation Cafe. Good night.